Hey guys, and welcome to the Bright and Fit podcast. I'm so excited to be here. I'm your host, Tatiana, money and fitness professional and everyday energizer bunny. From health, wellness, and everyday life challenges and topics, the Bright and Fit podcast will discuss interesting and fun ways to reinvent ourselves at any age. I hope you can join me. Hello, hello, everyone. This is Tatiana, and I'm your friend and host here at the Bright and Fit podcast. It is another wonderful time to record another episode. I hope you guys have been enjoying all the topics that I have covered so far, and I hope you guys have enjoyed the guests that I have on my podcast. Very, very useful and interesting information. And on this episode, the topic today is how to keep your immune system strong during this stressful time. And in this episode, I have my friend, my colleague, and co-worker, Shana Vestrup. I hope I pronounced it correctly. And she's going to be sharing some very important information. So welcome, Shana.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Great. So what is the importance of a healthy immune system? According to the health.harvard.edu on an article published in May 2021, on the whole, your immune system does a remarkable job of defending you against disease-causing microorganisms. But sometimes it fails. A germ invades successfully and makes you sick. Is it possible to intervene in this process and boost your immune system? Or what if you improve your diet? Or if you take certain vitamins or some herbal preparations, would that help? Or what about if you make other lifestyle changes in the hope of producing a near perfect immune response? So today we're gonna talk about all of those topics and questions that we all may have. But first, let's get to know our guests. So Shana, tell me about you. Okay. Who is Shana?
I'm busy. I'm a busy mom, busy worker. I have been married 25 years this year to my husband. I have 4 kids. 3 are in college and 1 is 13 in middle school. So that makes me very busy. And I love the arts. I started in New York City in the arts and working in publishing. But I have been, I would say, obsessed with nutrition and health most of my life. In college, my parents said, no, I don't want you to be a registered dietitian. I want you to do health. You know, you're never going to get a job. And of course, now we have a health crisis and all I do is turn down work. So I wish back then in the early 90s, I had even followed that. But I have been able to pursue my love of nutrition and get certified and work in the health and wellness field now. So yeah, it's been wonderful. I have been practicing yoga for 27 years. So those of you listening, long time. So anyway, I absolutely love health and nutrition. I've got a very healthy family I'm very thankful for, and I'm a busy lady, but very grateful.
Yeah. So where are you from? Where do you go to school? What about your family? Where are you guys from?
I'm a New Yorker. So I'm from New York and I lived in New York City for college. I went to Fordham. I did 2 degrees. I wanted to do an academic degree and an art degree. I was able to work in publishing while I was in college and midtown. So that was really amazing. But I have always been busy, like even when I was 18, working, going to school. But it was a wonderful time to live in New York City, early 90s, before a lot, before cell phones, before internet, before any of that. And my friends are all in the arts. So I've been in the arts most of my life. And then of course, being in fitness. I'm from New York. I love New York, but I also like to travel around. I got to study in Rome. I got to be in Italy. So I love to travel. I've been all over to Australia and different places. I've been able to snorkel the Great Barrier Reef. Yeah, just really, really fun, exciting stuff.
Amazing. So what makes you move from New York to Florida?
I don't like winter. So And I had a sixth, seventh, and eighth grade boy at the time, and I didn't want to teach him how to drive in black snow and ice. We were outside of Philadelphia at the time, and I think Philadelphia's great. We were out right outside of it. But we had gone through a couple 9-day stretches without power, without heat. And I said to my husband, I'm ready. So
let's just go.
I love the Sunshine State, and the fitness world down here is just is wonderful, where you gotta drive out in sleet and snow to your classes.
Right.
And I
there
love
is
it.
So much to do here. So yes. you're original from Woodstock, New York.
Mm-hmm.
And your whole family is still there, or everyone's here?
No, I have 25 of us are down here now.
Incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
So you are a certified nutrition and wellness consultant. You also teach Tai Chi and yoga and other formats because we're co-workers.
Yes.
And you are also an art and health teacher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm teaching lots of classes during the week. Yes. I teach private classes. I've been teaching private art classes for 24 years. And my health classes, I teach high school health because, my kids use college textbook that you would use if you're going to school to be like a registered dietitian. So I push them. They do great. They usually ask me for more after, which I'm amazed.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's really fun to teach.
That's beautiful. And you also were a watercolor artist of Valiant Comics in your city?
Yeah, Valiant is Marvel and DC are the big comic companies, but Valiant is, if you saw the Bloodshot movie, that's a Valiant comic. So with Vin Diesel, that's a Valiant one, yeah. And so Valiant will be like the next Marvel or DC as far as the movie world goes. They have a lot of movies in line, and so I'm not recommending or say you should go to one or the other, because
you are not, so talented and skilled. So much about you. And
yeah.
For that, I'm going to ask you more questions about you, because what is the first memory you remember of me?
You were pregnant at a staff meeting. And I thought, that is the cutest little pregnant lady.
Yes.
She is so fit.
I was pregnant with my second child, and this was about 6 years ago.
Yes, and you were organizing and being very efficient and getting things done, even though you were about to have a baby and jumping around, exercising and bouncing. Yeah.
Yes, we were collaborators in opening a brand new gym in our area.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how did you start your fitness journey?
I was on PBS Kids on the Slim Good Body show in New York City.
No.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yes, I can still, I'm not traumatized, actually enjoyed it. I can still sing the All Fit intro song in my little red sweatsuit with the high top Reeboks with the double Velcro.
Those are always hot.
Yeah, yeah. So
trendy.
Mid-80s, a friend, because everything's about connections in New York City and who you know, even though my mom was in Woodstock, New York, I had family in New York City. And one friend was a personal trainer in the 80s, and she said, hey, I can get you, you're fit and you love to exercise, I can get you on some good body show. Mind you, I'm in fifth grade.
Wow.
But I said, of course I want to roll on there. So I got to film a season, and then during snack time at school some days, the kids would be like, Shauna's on the screen doing jumping jacks. or kids would come into school, yeah, tell me. But so that's how I got to start my love of fitness. I had a friend who's a personal trainer, and she just got me super excited about fitness, even when I was a kid. And so I've just always loved it. You know, sometimes I haven't been able to work in the field as much as I'd like to, but I love it. So.
Oh, wow. So how old were you?
I was 10.
10.
Yeah.
So. That's incredible. So after that, did you continue exercising like in middle school and college?
Yeah, and the kind of thing where like you're captain of your hockey team, field hockey team, and that kind of stuff, and track. And yeah, I did sports as much as I could. I had a bunch of injuries though. So, you know, yeah, off and off, but yeah, always doing sports. And then in college, I didn't do competitive sports. Just that's when I started doing yoga in New York City, taking hip hop dance.
What?
And in the 90s, it was $20 a class back then in New York City.
Oh, wow. So from hip hop and being on TV doing jumping jacks to Tai Chi and yoga.
Yeah.
Wonderful. That's really awesome. So how is your life now versus 5 years ago?
So 5 years ago, I had my three boys and another boy who calls me mom, who lives with us. I had a 13-year-old, two 15-year-olds, and a 16-year-old boy in the house. So my life is a lot easier now. So 5 years ago, I was teaching multiple kids how to drive safe, and just getting four teenage boys through their days, and a little girl, and work. And it was right after we had opened one of the gyms in the area. So my days were consumed with teens and work. So now, you know, so all four of those guys are young men, and my life is, it has new challenges, but boy, whew, 5 years for those listening, if you're in a rough spot, 5 years makes absolutely a big difference.
Time flies so quickly. So yes, see, so 16. So one of them is 21 already.
Mm-hmm. He's graduated from school. He's an engineer. He's off at his job. Yes. And the other ones are all in line to graduate. And the one who lived with us, who I didn't give birth to, but calls me mom, he's got a job. It's all good. But at the time, oh, it was busy. So yeah.
That's incredible. See, my 5 years ago was having a child in the near coming months, while yours was training teenagers to drive.
Yeah.
A little different. Yet we were in the same environment doing the same type of fitness related activities. That's incredible.
And I think it's really healthy right, to be around, you know.
I think that's one of the things that kind of attract us to this field, right? Because with so much chaos and so much stress out there, this is kind of like a balance to our crazy outside lives.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I don't have to be so much in control with something that I have to do. This is something that I have control on, something I enjoy doing.
Yeah, definitely.
Beautiful. And what makes you proud of yourself?
Maybe it sounds old fashioned, but my marriage, because I come from a family of crazy divorce. It goes back to my great grandma, like when people never got divorced. And I was the only kid in kindergarten who was like a divorce latchkey kid, like everybody else. I mean, 1980, nobody's divorced, you know? So I have to say I'm super proud because I didn't have examples or anybody. All my friends in the 80s, when you're like I'm an only child in a divorced home, you hang out with kids like that. And that's like all my friends were divorced kids. So I'm just really proud. Like, I mean, my husband and I have a great marriage and good family life. And it's something that I had to learn and educate myself on. I didn't just have this, oh, this is what you do, honey. You know, like I had to figure out what's it look like to really make your life look beautiful at home. And so I am really proud because, you know, it's scary when you have a background like that, that's not super healthy, you know, to take a big commitment. So yeah, I mean, I've gotten through a lot of other hard things, but honestly, I would say my marriage and family, because I know how hard I work for it, and it's such a blessing, you know.
So. Only child? Wow.
Yeah. And I wanted six kids, but we still, but yeah, I mean, just
that's something that I have to agree with, because my mother only had my brother and me, and then my mom had an older daughter from another marriage. So I grew up with being the youngest, but I only had my brother and my sister, but my sister was older, so she never lived with us that much. So it was me and my brother, and it's a boy. So it was like almost feeling like an only child. So I said, okay, when I get married, I'm going to have a bunch of kids. So my family is big. So it feels like a whole community of people around me. So I totally get it.
Yeah.
Good. So tell me what your morning routine looks like.
My morning routine. So I need to be alone to get through the day, like to charge up. I'm just that. I mean, I'm obviously extroverted because I stand in front of people and teach all day, but I have an introverted part where like I have to get up an hour before my family. And sometimes that creates some bags under my eyes, but I have to.
What time is that?
So, well, it depends. Like if they're getting up at 6, I'm going to get up at 5. They're going to have 7. So since I have a bunch of college kids living at home right now, like I don't have to get them up, but the house is real busy. And the kitchen area will be busy. So if I want time alone, like I need to get up an hour before. And my days are, they're not as regimented as some people, because some days I'm in a classroom at 8 a.m. and other days I'm not teaching till 10. So I have a little flexibility. You know, sometimes at the drawing board painting for a few hours before I leave, but I'm always up an hour before them, whether that's 6 a.m. or 5 or 7. I have a little time to myself, I read, have my coffee. I have to. I had to give up coffee when I had babies, but then I haven't given it up. I'm a New Yorker. I've always had my coffee.
No, you have to have coffee. Coffee is the the special magical juice of adults that keep us sane.
Yeah, so I do. I have my coffee and I don't usually eat for a while, actually, unless I have to leave the house. And then I make them, like, I'm obsessed with juicing and smoothies. So I get, once I have my time alone, I start making them. There's juices and smoothies. I have almost everybody still at home because of the current situation in the world. Yes. Everybody's online for school.
Right. Oh, chaos.
Yeah.
That's why, everybody's constantly looking to get something to eat.
Yeah, but that's how my day usually starts. I actually don't exercise first thing in the day because I know I'm going to teach a class or two throughout the day. So my husband and I, when we're like by ourselves, we start the day after I have my time alone. We do Tai Chi outside because he's a black belt second dan in Goju, but he uses Tai Chi for like his warm up. So
look at that. He's using what we teach for a warm up. Wow. That's amazing. He's so talented.
So like when we go on vacation and stuff, that's how we start our day. But obviously once we can't do that till we're retired, we're still working every day.
I love some Tai Chi. I am not a certified Tai Chi instructor, but I do some Tai Chi moves in when I teach kickboxing. And it's time to relax. It's just so empowering.
I love them. I love Tai Chi. Yeah.
How does it feel to have a spouse that supports you so much in this fitness and health?
It's wonderful. Career. I think you understand too, if your spouse isn't doing it, we teach night classes. Like when you have little kids and you got a 5-year-old and stuff, you can't go out and teach evening classes. I didn't, unless your spouse is really behind you. And he's the one like, Jose, go get certified in Tai Chi. You're so, you love this stuff. And I love the active aging population. So he knows how much I help them stay moving, stay up. And so he comes to my co-ed classes too, but my life, that's part of what I'm just so proud about. It's him too, but it's a good team, and he really supports me and I try to support him when he goes away to karate and comes back with these huge welts and bruises.
Look, babe, I did it.
Yeah, so, we both know just it's so important. Community is so important. Group fitness, I think, is part of where you get that community. And he knows, he sees like that. I just get energized by seeing other people have energy and feel good. So no, it is. It's wonderful.
Making people move, especially when you are at a different stage of your life, is really important because the more you move now, and this is something that it wasn't before, it may have been, in cities like California, New York, where there's a different lifestyle. But when you go to the other states and when you go to other countries that fitness and workout and health in general is not as important, it really makes an impact in the body. So you mentioned you've been in several countries. So how many countries have you been to and how have you observed the fitness is different in the other countries?
When I lived in New York City, you walked everywhere. I actually sold my car. I didn't even have a car, but when I was in Italy, you walked everywhere too. You walked to the market. It was a long walk just to the bus, and so that was wonderful for me. And so I actually, the suburbs were hard when I moved there because I had always lived either in the country or the city. In the suburbs, you just spend time in your car, Australia, we were all over the place because you're going to the outback and you're on trains and stuff. In Germany, everybody's walking, and so, Budapest and all those areas, like people are walking a lot. So, I did notice, and people seem to be fit because they walk a lot, so.
Absolutely.
Every place that I've been to so far, people are they're out there, they're at the cafes and they're walking to their meal. They're walking home from their meal,
Have you did you attend any class abroad?
No, usually I this might sound terrible as a fitness instructor. When I'm away, like I'll do Tai Chi with my husband or walk, but I take a break. So I'm excited to come back to it, Yeah, I will exercise, like you're walking or you play sports with the kids, or I'll go play basketball with the boys, but I don't usually take other classes and stuff. I don't know, I feel like I just need to be out of the classroom for a full week and just get excited.
This is my mental break. I am not a teacher here. Funny enough, I've been to different countries too, and I've been to Germany. And while I was in Germany, I took a friend's class. And boy, it was... what kind of class was it? I know it was some sort of, it was similar to Zumba, but he also did some like aerobics class.
Right. Okay.
And boy, they're intense. They are into it. And something else that caught my attention when I went to visit my friend is he's from Spain. And I connected with him online and I said, hey, Jose, I'm going to be in Berlin. what time do you teach? And he was teaching us some crazy midnight time or whatever. These people work out at any time.
Yeah,
they just don't care. They just get off work and go to the gym. Like, it's open all the time. So when we were done with the class, which was super ridiculous and insane, and I was in the back because I was suffering being an instructor, but these people move and they don't stop moving. Like, right. There's no breaks. Like, you know, here we're like, okay, how are you guys doing? Get some water break if it's intense. And I am intense, you know, I'm crazy.
Yes, yes.
But when I was out of that class, I went to the locker. They call it the locker room, which is the lockers and the bathrooms and the jacuzzi and then the steam showers. And everyone was freaking stripping off, completely naked. Did you have any experience like that?
Yes, yes. So, I mean, most other cultures, even when students sometimes come to my classes, like at the little boutiques, and they're from other countries, one boutique doesn't have a locker room of any sort, and they'll just right after classes at girls' boutique just strip down and start changing in the fitness room.
No, yeah. I was like, okay.
And I was like, do I say something to her? I don't want to be uncomfortable. We're all girls here. And so I didn't say much. She just took it all off in my bar after my bar class and was changing. And I was like, okay.
But, oh, so this is happening. Okay.
Yeah. So
I gotta say, I was very surprised at the level of confidence, the different level of confidence that people have fitness, you know, fitness wise in different countries.
Right. And I know, like, at least for me, sometimes when I don't exercise, I've never sweat more in my life than when I went to Chichen Itza, and we didn't take a fitness class. We were just walking around the ruins. And I mean, there's never a fitness class.
This is where?
Chichen Itza in the Yucatan Peninsula down there where the Mayan ruins.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Awesome.
And we were there in July. It was probably 100. And I told my husband, I've never sweat in any exo. I mean, we were just detoxing and losing.
It was like pores were getting clean. Yeah. The skin was shedding some, you know, dead skin. We were getting like.
So some of my vacationing, I felt like I didn't need to exercise because I got
totally
my sweat on.
And you're right. You walk crazy amounts of time to get to the train station, to get to the store, to get to the museum, because people are very conscious about their environment in different countries, especially Europe, I feel like.
Yeah.
So we're gonna get to know you just a little better, and I'm gonna throw some questions very briefly so we can dive into our topic today, because we can talk for hours. In a few words, what are some things that you're most excited about?
I mean, I'm always excited to learn something new. So I've got a couple of certifications that I'm planning to do in the future. I'm always excited to learn. And I'm doing aerial yoga now and teaching trapeze.
Amazing.
So yeah, so that's really fun because I don't do like scary poses, like, I don't know, you know, like scorpion and some of those ones, just because of liability. I'm terrified of student to break their neck. And frankly, sometimes I don't want to look stupid if I fall out of it, but in
well, then you get up.
Yeah. But you know, I'm middle-aged, but if you're in the silk, you don't fall, you know, like you're, so that's been pretty fun. Like, I've been starting to teach it. I have a lot of goals with that class, and I have a lot of education that I'm planning to do in the future. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited also that my kids are, you know, they're adults. And so I'm getting into a new stage of life, like with them.
You are seeing life's changing.
Yeah, it's fun. It's really exciting. Yeah, it's really exciting.
What's one thing that you wish you knew when you began your fitness career?
Oh gosh, you didn't. One thing I wish I knew. Yeah, I actually wish, you know, back in the 90s, I had wanted to do education, like to be a physical therapist or get a registered dietitian. And I just wish I had gone my heart's desire. Everybody said, no, 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 you know, that's just what you like to do for fun, you know, and that's what you do for fun. Like, you're just an exercise girl. And I used to run all the time in Central Park. And I just wish I had known, like, you know what, if I have a desire, then there'll be a job there. And I had first gone into like engineering field, and I was like, oh, I hate this. And I changed, and I kept thinking, I got to get some job that's like this high power girl job. And then I fell, and like, this is ridiculous. So So I wish when I had started, I had just followed at the very beginning those promptings, because I love the education side and as far as muscles and fascia. And I wish, like, you know, if you're someone listening now, you're thinking about going to fitness, like if you have strong desire to get educated and learn, you know, go for it if you can. You know, there wasn't as many like night class options. There was no online when I was
right back then. There's so much more now.
Now you can really do stuff on, you know, they're like one of my groups I'm with, they're pretty strict about you only have 6 months to do your certifications, but some are very lenient. You know, they're very open to you to do it at your own pace. So I just wish I had gone for it. So now I've had to, with kids, juggle all those, you know, education things, where, you know, when I was younger, I could have just dove in. But you just feel like everyone says, oh, you got to get a certain kind of degree, you got to do this.
So anybody out there listening, yeah, if you're young and you want to do this, go for it. Even if you change your mind later, just get your certification and your education.
Frankly, even if you're retired and you want to go teach like Tai Chi Fit, you know, because I was at an SCW conference once, doing like a chair yoga certification class or whatever, continuing education credits, I mean, and one lady said, oh, you're doing great, you know, and she's like, yeah, I just got to keep teaching. I said, well, how old are you? Oh, I'm 72. I was like, she was, you know, it was chair yoga, but she was moving it.
So, you know, speaking of education, it's never too late to follow your dreams. I'll share something with you. My father, who is in heaven now, he never graduated from college because he had siblings that, you know, back in the day, a lot of people were like, go to high school, graduate and hustle, get a job. And he always wanted to study something, and he was very smart. He was a self-taught CPA. And later on, he got his licensing, but he always wanted to study sociology. So at age, I believe he was 65. At age 65, he went online, he applied for a scholarship in another country. I think it was Dominican Republic. He did it online. He applied for a scholarship and he got the scholarship for 4 years. Wow. To study sociology, and nobody knew. Nobody knew. Oh, my family, always on the computer,
right?
And he was always talking to people, and he was always on conferences, and he was always writing articles. And then when he graduated, the week before he graduated, he messaged me and he's like, hey, look. And he sends me a picture.
My That's father, so great.
I love you. Kisses to heaven. He sends me a picture of him with his freaking, you know, cap and gown. And he's like, look, I'm graduating from sociology next week. I just wanted to let you know. Yeah. And I said, are you serious right now? So that was one of the biggest and proudest moments of his life, that he had the opportunity and the guts later on to go and do something that he was so passionate about at the right time. And even though he didn't practice for a long time, because he passed away about eight years later when he turned 70, hey, he did it. And I'm sure that he felt the best of the best, as if he had been graduated for a long time. So people out there, it's never too late. So do what you consider is your passion and follow your dreams. So let's get to the topic. I wanted to ask you, what is an immune system? What is a healthy immune system?
Well, I mean, I think most of the listeners probably know, right? Like your body, like you mentioned, you did a great summary intro. Your body is always coming in contact with germs. Frankly, you have staph on your skin, right? You can get a staph infection. You know, you just don't even realize how much stuff is sitting on your skin, how much your nose and ears and everything are protecting you. And so an immune system is there when an invader comes in to basically protect you, get rid of it, eat it up, right? And so a healthy immune system is really important, because we are always coming in contact with germs, right? We are always coming in contact with things. And frankly, sometimes we're eating stuff that's not, you know, super safe. We don't wash everything perfectly. So, I mean, one person, you know, might get really, really sick because something was a little undercooked, and the other person has such a healthy microbiome and digestive system that they're able to expel it. But as far as we know from experts now, 70% of your immune system is really in your gut, in your digestive area. So So when you have IBS or you have, you know, any kind of problems down there, SIBO, the different things that you're having, your immune system's already compromised because of that. So you're a healthy gut and microbiome is just, you're constantly eating things and you're getting things in the environment that, you know, are not good for you, that are invaders that your body doesn't recognize as something that's supposed to be there. And it's just a point of, you know, do you fight it off? Do you fight it off well? And of course, now we're a little bit all obsessed over various, you know, strands of germs and viruses.
Yeah. Very normal and very understandable, terrifying factors that are there that have made us kind of like feel a lot less secure than how we were before. So I wanted to advise our listeners, because this is very important to mention, Shauna and I are not medical professionals in this field. If you do have any particular immune system, weak immune system, correlated to an immune system disease, please consult to a doctor, a medical professional, or a specialist if you have specific questions or require any medical advice. We are not medical professionals in this podcast, and it's not intended to provide any sort of medical advice to anyone. And also, we are just coaches sharing the knowledge that we have. Of course, you know, Shauna is a certified nutrition and wellness consultant, so she's going to share information that has worked for her and that she has learned and that is approved. So I wanted to just make sure everyone's there and that we're covered on that. So basically, you're saying an immune system is like the bodyguard of our organisms.
It's protection.
Kind of like, it's like a bodyguard at the door somewhere, checking on what you eat and making sure that doesn't provoke any type of germs in your body that will attack you.
Yeah, so not just germs, frankly, almost all people have cancer cells. So talk about being afraid of something. We all come in contact with cancerous cells, whether it's in the breast, the prostate, or where it's a point of, does your body recognize it, grab it, and get rid of it? So if you're eating, we'll talk about, if you're eating a really healthy diet, you're going to go in, and antioxidants are those things in phytochemicals and fruits and vegetables that are going to go in and get those free radicals, the things floating around you that shouldn't be there. So you always have these little mutations, these cells that aren't supposed to be there, even diseases. And it's just, does your body go in and get it out, or does it let it grow and thrive? Whether it's a cold or it's strep throat, a stuffy nose, or a cancer cell. So the immune system is very complicated, and I have more respect for it every year that I study, especially I've been studying a lot of traditional Chinese medicine now, and there's very different holistic nutrition coach certifications, and it's just amazing how complicated, delicate, and strong the body is.
So what is the composition of an immune system?
Well, I think, you know, we have all these cells that are fighting as far as T cells and things, but, you know, instead of going into like a biology class for people, I think we might want to talk, like, at least I would talk about just practical steps for making sure that those cells are working right. Because I know in my health class, I lose the kids when I start to talk about cells and as far as your T cells and your white blood cell count. We usually more talk about in general, just like, I don't really get into the details of insulin if we're talking about diabetes and breaking down the keys, just more what foods do you need to eat or how do you need to live to keep your body healthy. So if we want to maybe talk about that, so people, for your immune system, that your cells are working well. Okay.
Absolutely.
So one thing that when I meet with a client, the very first thing I ask them before, whether they need to lose weight, fight cancer, clear up their acne, no matter what I'm talking about, the first thing I ask them is, are you sleeping? And are you sleeping enough? Is the first question in any, no matter what session I have. And part of it is because when you're sleeping, your immune system, think about rebooting your computer. When when your computer's slow and it's not working right, and it's just, if I just turn it down and let it rest and turn it back up. Well, it's the same thing with your body. So without getting into the details of what's going on, I mean, if we want to talk about, there's plaque in your brain, the stuff that leads to Alzheimer's, that actually clears out when you're sleeping. Like, you know, your brain is actually detoxing when you're sleeping. So for an immune system, like, one of the biggest things for people to do, the very first thing I would say is they get adequate sleep. So that all those cells, again, without getting into details of them, that they're working at their like a computer that's fully charged. And most Americans, and frankly, my European friends are in this too, because they stay up really late and drink espresso. Most people are not getting enough sleep. They're depending on caffeine, which that has all cellular stuff as far as the where it blocks the receptors that tell your body you're sleepy. And I don't want to get into a biology course on that, but sleep is really, I would say, the first staple of immune system. In holistic and functional medicine, the body usually needs to shut down by 11. Now, if you have to get up at 4 or 5, you gotta move it back. But your circadian rhythm, your immune system works optimal if you're asleep by 11. And then, of course, if you want to get 8 hours, you gotta get up 7. Some people have to be at work by then, so dropping it back. So, I mean, that's my first thing. And then again, I can kind of go through lists, but I would say, if you want those cells, if you want that little complicated system to work at its peak, you have to give it time to clear out and rest and do, it's just, it doesn't get to work as well when you're stressed, when you're tired. And then of course, if you're dependent on caffeine and things like that, we won't even talk about what goes into the coffee, the sugars, right, a little bit later.
So much to this, immune system, which is, like you said, we're not going to describe the whole entire system of what is composed and all the network and all the cells that makes it to be a healthy one. But this applies to all types of people, no matter what the age, generation or racial background that they have, right?
Right. Your kids, if you want your kids to be healthy at school, they need to get sleep. Part of that, before we go on to the next thing, is sleep hygiene is real. Like, it's just like brushing your teeth. Sleep hygiene is, you shutting down at night, turning down the lights in your house so your melatonin levels adjust, not seeing blue light on the computers, the screens, the TVs. And it's the same for grandma as it is for the toddler. Like, everybody needs to unplug and start to wind down so that your brain can start to calm down, inflammation, the body, everything can start detoxing. And we usually are just not letting ourselves get enough sleep.
Something important that you mentioned during the pandemic times is a lot of people had so much time to sleep that, that they have plenty of time to do several things, that they did a lot of sleeping and a lot of nothing because the economic impact was terrible. And other people like us and other people out there that were working, that were trying to maintain a job, we were basically sleep deprived because we couldn't do as much as we wanted to with the little time that we had, and we were trying to conserve a job. So it was stressful times.
It's very stressful.
Actually, children too, right, that had to go to online, all the exposure of 8 hours a day of online school. There's several articles out there that a lot of students from college, I think it was on the USF article, I was hearing that they were exposed to Zoom and they were having some major depression after that, because all the blue light that they were starting during the day was not making them fall asleep, so they were extra tired the next day and the next day and the next day. So it was like robotic.
Yeah, no, definitely. And so when I talk to people, no matter, and I have all kinds of reasons that people want health coaching, sleep is the first thing. And I tell people, look, if you have a job where you have to be on a computer a lot, just go to Target and get those little blue light glasses that are 15 bucks, get something that'll start to block. Most new computers actually have a setting that blocks the blue light. So if you have to be online, because say you have a night job or a night shift, but if you can get off internet, get off on your phone, and give yourself at least an hour before bed to let that calm down, because you don't want to then become dependent on melatonin and all these other things to fall asleep. But I mean, so for me, I mean, these things that we're talking about don't cost any money, sleep. And the next one's hydration. Like, you need water. Most people are clinically dehydrated. they just are. Okay. And so when we'll talk about it a little more, but if people are not waking up and having, and this is embarrassing, but health coaches talk about it, if you're not having healthy bowel movements, you're probably like dehydrated, you're not eating right. Like, people don't realize, before they said, I hired you for, to clear up my acne or to help with cancer, but the first thing I want to see is, are you sleeping well? Are you drinking a lot? And are you expelling toxins out of your body? Like, your immune system is down in your gut. So you need to get a lot of water there and you need to flush out stuff all the time. And most people at first, they're like a little uncomfortable, but then we start talking and they realize it. But most people are very dehydrated. So where they're drinking a lot, but it's sugary stuff, you know.
What I was going to mention, I have a lot of participants and a lot of coworkers that when we talk about how hot it is, because it's summertime here in Florida, and they're like, oh, you know, I'm just so tired. I have to hydrate. I'm probably dehydrated. And they're always talking about how many vitamin waters they take. And I'm like, that's not good. And nothing in excess is going to help you. It's going to do the opposite reaction to the body. So nothing better than just clean water.
Yeah, no, clean water. And then if you need flavor, lemon and lime are very detoxifying for the body. There's been studies for breast cancer in particular. Women who drink a lot of lemon water have lower breast cancer risk. So get that lemon and lime in there. As long as you don't have any like tooth enamel issues with acid. So I tell people that. I tell people if you really can't drink water, play around with like slices of ginger and lemon lime in there, you know, get some herbs in there, put a little cucumber and a melon drop. I mean, just infuse it yourself with real food, because the unhealthy sugars, those are going to trash your gut lining, which is going to make your immune system go down again. So all those kind of fake waters. So these things that, you know, everything, every tip I have doesn't really cost money. Sleeping first, hydration, and the next one is really cutting out sugars. I mean, sugar, I won't get into the fancy biology, but you have these cells that need to bring in vitamin C and receptors when you say you're eating that orange, right? And you need to get that vitamin C. But if you're eating a lot of sugar, it basically blocks the little receptors. So I kind of lose my kids in health class when we look at the cells and the pictures and the little dangly things. And then there's like little shields up there. Vitamin C can't get in. I'm like, do you see the battle? But really, if you are trying to eat really healthy, but then you're adding a lot of sugar into your diet, it's really defeating a lot of that healthy food. So, or if you're taking vitamins, you might have very expensive urine. If you're eating a lot of sugar, it's basically the receptors that allow that vitamin C to get in are blocked. So low sugar. And honestly, they've done studies with mice where they give them cocaine, they get them addicted to it, then they take it away, they give them sugar, easy to get them addicted, then they give them the option of cocaine or sugar. Which one do you think they choose?
Sugar.
Yeah, they choose what? Sugar. It's both in the same cage.
They have terrible and 300% terrible with salt and sugar. But you know what? I'm going to blame it on my Latino background because we load everything with everything. Maybe a cultural thing, but I know for a fact it's not good. And especially like, you know, white sugar as opposed to brown sugar. And it's, you know, probably
sugar is sugar to the body.
Sugar, exactly. Yeah.
So, I mean, honey is a little better if you have seasonal allergies and you're eating like a honey that's made from bees close to you, you're going to get the histamine stuff that's going to help you with your allergies. Honey's antimicrobial a little bit for like cuts and stuff on your body, but in general, sugar to the body. Some have a higher glycemic index, which can spike your blood sugar a little faster. So, but in general, this is the hardest one. It doesn't cost any money. Actually, you're going to save money probably if you cut out sugar, but it's so addictive. You have to think about it like giving up cocaine.
And it gives you headaches. If you cannot get that sense of being addicted to it, because when you don't have it, like coffee, you have that, you know, sugar withdrawal, and you feel like, ugh, this is not tasting good. But then you give it to somebody else and it's like, oh yeah, it's loaded on sugar because even your palate has gotten used to it.
Yeah, no. So, I mean, I usually, these are all things when I go, it's the same for cancer as it is for acne. Cutting out sugar is going to help your immune system work better. You know, it's just cutting out sugar. So, I mean, do I allow some treats in the house here and there? Sure. But especially during last 2020, there was like no sugar in their house. And the kids were like, wow, mom, granola is the biggest snack around. They were like, yeah. And they were telling people, yeah, she thinks cereal is dessert. And I thought it was. I was like, guys, there's still some sugar in that cereal.
There's still so loaded in sugar. Okay.
But this wasn't treat cereal. This was like Canadian farm organic.
Oh my God.
That's what it's like when your mom's a health coach. So I was like, guys, that banana has plenty of sugar in it. So last year, nobody in my house got sick. So thankful. And we really, in general, there's six of us here, but when you add the girlfriends and the other kids that call me mom, there's 10 of us in my house pretty much all
week. Oh my God.
That's a lot of grown up humans, right? And some of them are working. I mean, I'm all day with, you know, tons of people in the fitness gym and everybody's super healthy, but this is like, I'm always like big on sleep, on water, cutting out sugar. And the next one, which doesn't cost any money, is managing stress. because your immune system doesn't work as well when you're stressed. So, you know, I'm a yoga teacher. I love Tai Chi, but part of why I do it is I'm a type A high strung person. Like I have always been a workaholic and I don't want to have cancer, right? And I don't want to be sick. But if you are like a high strung person, you're setting yourself up for that kind of stuff. You know, it's just the immune system. I know some, like when I was little, before I could manage my stress, I always got like, you know, colds and stuff in the winter. And now I never do. And I'm around more people than ever, you know, as far as, you know, I don't touch people right now in my classes, but you know, as a yoga instructor, you're always like adjusting people. You're close to them. Like, I teach like 40 kids on this one day, like all these kids around me, but it's just, you know, eating right and then managing stress, because if you're sleeping well, you're giving your body time to unwind. But if you're managing your stress, you know, slow breathing, figure out ways to unwind. For me, it's, you know, early morning, starting the day. Your body really reacts to stress and causing inflammation. But the next part does cost money, and it doesn't cost a lot if you're creative, but eating a plant heavy diet. So plant heavy, you don't have to go vegan, you don't have to be a vegetarian, but you know, plants fight disease, and the standard American diet, which is called the SAD diet, feeds disease. So I always like tell clients, you know, plants fight it. They have antioxidants in there, which go into your body and get these free radicals out. Free radicals are things you don't want in your body. They go out and get the germs, you know, swipe everything out. They go down to your intestines. Like, oatmeal is a functional food. It's like a vacuum, and it goes and collects cholesterol and like pulls out of the body. And a lot of vegetables, like asparagus, is a prebiotic. It's going to get your microbiome ready for those probiotics. Oh, yeah. I mean, so you just have all this amazing chemistry going on. All this biology stuff is just crazy going on in the body if you eat a plant heavy diet. But if you don't, you're feeding disease. So when you do get exposed to pathogens and stuff, you're going to go down harder, you know? So plant heavy, that doesn't mean you can't eat, you know, meats and stuff, but if you replace the processed food with plant food, your immune system is going to thrive.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of toxins that are in meats that if you normally, and you know, this is something that us Americans do, because that's what we do. We eat a big meal before going to bed instead of making it a lunch and then making the habit of eating something lighter before 7:30, when the metabolism starts slowing down for digestion. So it's almost like, okay, you are putting a block on top of your head that's not allowing you to surface to your sleeping area because you have that food on top of you waiting to be digested instead of lighter.
Some specialists, I think it's really helpful, they've said, I mean, some of people who have quite a lot of degrees have said it's really helpful if you're under 30 and you're young, you know, you're a teenager, you know, don't eat in 3 hours before bed. If you're 40, 4 hours. And then anybody over 50 who are already in a category or higher risk for everything, don't eat anything until 5 hours before. So, I mean, that's hard if you, you know, but a lot, as we know, older people tend to sometimes eat at five anyway, and then they go to bed at 10, you know, that's a very healthy thing for them, because you are, again, you're giving the body, the digestive system, time to break it down. And then, you know, any, like you said, eating after seven, your metabolic rate has gone down anyway, so you're more likely to gain weight, but it's to detoxify, give your body time to clean out, give your digestive system a rest. I'm a big fan of going a long stretch without food. Another part for really helping the immune system that doesn't cost any money, really just your time, is to sweat. Like, of course, we're fitness instructors, so we love sweat, but sweating is detoxifying. I actually tell people, if you can grab a little towel and bring it to your class, especially your really high intensity class, when you're sweating hard, just wipe it off, because the toxins are rising to the surface, you know, and you don't want to reabsorb them. You know, we're fortunate to have like a sauna at one of the places we work at. I tell people, if you have access to that, that's going to really boost your immune system, your human growth hormones.
Yes, absolutely. I agree. And it is proven statistically that when you are at least between 3 to 5, it may vary depending on the heat, but when you are in a sauna for a little bit of time, you actually, your hormones increase, you get a healthier immune system, your skin gets better, you have, you know, the pores open, so it releases toxins. It's so much goodness in going to a sauna. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, but if people don't have a sauna, it's summertime. So just get outside, you know, get out and walk, especially if you can walk while the sun's up, get your vitamin D, your sunshine vitamin, while you're walking, and sweat it out, because when you're sweating, you're detoxifying, but hopefully if you're exercising in the same time, you're probably also getting rid of a lot of stress, you know,
running around,
build up, getting those endorphins. Mm-hmm. And then of course there's a lot of practical things that don't cost a lot of money. Like, I tell people, if you want to think about foods that are going to help your immune system, think about guacamole, because avocados are super good at detoxifying your body.
Yes.
Onions are super good at detoxifying. Cilantro is really good at detoxifying. Garlic, lemon, and lime. So all the things you'd probably put in a really yummy guacamole. Those are the kind of foods that you want to be eating. So, you know, if you feel like, oh, I'm going to be traveling, or I'm going to be exposed to some germs, you know, of course we're getting sleep, hopefully we're drinking a lot of water, we're cutting down sugars, but then we're trying to eat foods that will detoxify the body. And if you don't have a nut allergy, even like walnuts, they attach to selenium in your body. They have selenium in it, and they attach to metals and chelate and pull it out. So selenium, foods with selenium are going to like take out if you're being exposed to those kind of toxins that are in your water supply and stuff like that, which some people can be really sensitive. They don't realize how bad they feel, right, you know, because of the exposure. Yeah.
I think that is important to mention that with all of the good tips that we're providing, it's also good to do a lot of research, because it may, you know, those foods that may work for you may not work for somebody else.
Right. If you have a specialty diet, for sure. Like if you have to be on a FODMAP diet, that's for people who have sugar issues with their gut, then they're going to have to avoid the pit fruits like an avocado. But yeah, for sure. I tell people also like to think about blue zone places. So if your crowd knows about blue zones, these are places where people live to 100 and live really vibrantly. And so blue zones are places where people are not dying of disease. They're not sick all the time. And they generally are happy to be 100. They're not like in a walker in a nursing home struggling. So Okinawa is one of like the best studied blue zone areas, and they eat a plant heavy diet. You know, they're good about, they're not up all night, you know, partying. They're sleeping, they're getting their water, they're exercising.
I'm curious about
something they have. They have community. So community is super healthy. One thing that people don't realize when their immune system went down is if they were isolated and missing that community, that is going to affect your immune system, you know, and having depression and being upset. And they do something, they call it Harihachi Bu, which means you eat to about 70, 80% full and you stop. So that also, again, just eating, you know, eating a clean diet and not eating too stuffing yourself, you know, but they eat a very pure diet that's not full of processed food. So I tell people, like, if you can't remember all these things, think of specific examples of places. And a blue zone place, people can look it up too. There's just a great thing, are people who are really living vibrantly and healthy. But of course we want our kids to be healthy, our teens, but you also want, you know, you want to stay healthy for the long haul.
Yeah, absolutely. So do we have any more tips? Because this is getting really interesting. I'm ready for more.
Michael Pollans, I have a quote that is pretty easy to remember. It's just 7 words, okay? Eat food, not too much, mostly plants. That's what he says. Eat food, not too much, mostly plants. And the big thing behind this, if you're going to have one thing for our immune system today, guys, I hope you got all the tips. When you say eat food, is real food. So, you know, this isn't, again, your box cereal for breakfast and then your, you know, gas station stuff for lunch and your drive-through for dinner. I mean, it's real food that you know, like the oatmeal or the eggs that you made, a salad or a wrap that you made, you know, a piece of fish and rice or beans or something that you made. So eating food, not too much of it, and mostly plants is really, I think, one of the best things for staying healthy and for keeping your immune system healthy. People start to feel so amazing when they cut out processed food and sugar, but it is a detoxing. You do feel like you're going to rehab. Okay. Like if you feel like you're an alcoholic.
Burgers are so good, but then I get sick. It's all about.
Yeah. Burgers are extremely, they are overwhelming to the brain. The brain and the synapses fire up. Like a double bacon cheeseburger, the brain can't handle it, actually. When neuroscientists study, and they put people who are addicted to very dangerous things, and then they also give them a double bacon cheeseburger, it's the same places that fire up in the brain. So it's the same places. So, I tell people, if you feel addicted to food, you are. Like it's real. It's really real. But people feel so good. Like the person who gave up a drug or alcohol, they feel so good when they break that addiction. And so it's the same here. here, like, if you want your immune system to be healthy, you need to feed it good foods, and you need to give yourself, you need to be patient with yourself, you know, let yourself sleep more, let yourself have more water, you know, especially in the summertime. You know, I tell people I'd rather you take two glasses of water on the way to class and leave and go to the bathroom than to be dehydrated in my class.
Yes. It's difficult to teach the body what you haven't taught your body for a long time, but it's not impossible. It's not impossible. So to summarize the tips, number one, get good quality sleep.
Yeah.
What's number two?
Drink a lot of water and cut out any like sugary beverages, you know, caffeine. I'm not going to say not to have it, but you can't be drinking caffeine all day. It's dehydrating to you, and you might be putting cream and sugar in it too, or sweet tea. It's got some of the sweet teas I see people walking around with have 32 teaspoons of sugar. 32. So,
stop drinking those teas.
Your pure tea, even that's like pretty clean, it's just like tea, sugar, and water. A lot of times there's about 8 to 10 teaspoons of sugar in one of those little ones. So yeah, I tell people just stay, you know, if you're getting a big gulp, yeah, you're probably getting 20 teaspoons or to 30 teaspoons of sugar. So
literally like half a bag of sugar in that big gulp.
yeah. The supposedly, you guys can look it up, but supposedly people eat sometimes, you know, up to 50 pounds of sugar a year. Yeah. I mean, everyone's different, but they do all these studies. Yeah. So sleep doesn't cost you any money. It's just going to cost some reorganizing. Water, cutting out sugar as much as we can, realizing that is going to have some effects the first 5 to 10 days, you know. And right. I'm not saying you have to cut out all, but no, if you're having sugar, you're suppressing your immune system a bit and making it harder. And then managing stress, because stress is really it really affects your immune system. And we've been under a lot of stress, and people don't realize, and under fear and all those things. When you're afraid and living in fear, that's going to affect your immune system. You know, your body doesn't know, it just says I'm under attack. It doesn't know what the attack is. And then plant heavy diets. So most holistic, you know, health coaches are going to ask you to try to fill half your plate with fruits and vegetables, eat the color of the rainbow every day, but try, if you're looking at your plate and it's a big piece of protein, a lot of carbs, and this teeny little sad, you know, recognition of fruits or vegetables, try to make it at least, you know, half or more plant heavy. Detoxifying means, you know, sweating a lot. And I'm going to just be honest, using the bathroom a lot, you need to pee, and you know, all the time to get rid of your immune system. You just have to. That's how you're going to really be able to keep the toxins out. If 70% of your immune system's in your gut, then you need to have a healthy gut biome, whether that's, you know, also drinking kombucha, having, I personally like kimchi and stuff. My family doesn't. They don't like the smell of it in the house.
Yes,
I like it. But, you know, things that are probiotic rich to have down there. And then the last thing was really kind of what we said, like Okinawan places, blue zones, is community. You need to have a lifestyle that you're doing all these things, but you have some community and people around you, like-minded. Because it's really going to affect your immune system. Immune system isn't just like, oh, these are these cells and they're battling it. It's so complicated. The stress you're under, you know, I don't know if some of the listeners have ever had the experience, you were in school or you're in college and you're doing exams and you're just pushing through, and then boom, you're done. You get crazy sick. Is that fight or flight with the nervous system? Like you were on this high, right? And the minute that you got through, your body was like in the survive mode. And the minute you could let down your defenses, you know, on comes the huge, you know, virus or strep or flu that you get over, you know, Christmas break when you finish your finals. Like, and it's really real. So, I mean, whether it's a college student or a busy, you know, parent or someone working a lot, it's the same for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. I will also add to take some time to decompress in the manage stress and find some really good decompressing practices, meditation, breathing. There's some really good breathing techniques out there. There's other types of practices that you can go and get some acupuncture. You can go get a massage. You can go get a deep tissue massage. You can do something that you enjoy, you know, walking in the park, an activity that you feel that will take your stress level lower, to a lower level, like painting or writing or watching something productive. That will make you that effect.
I love that the Japanese have a phrase that they call forest bathing. So if you they like to have
Are they naked too?
No, although they do have bathhouses still. Like when I was in Rome, like you saw bathhouses where people used to take baths, but I didn't know that was still a thing. But like there are cultures that still like public bathhouses, but they do forest bathing. And what they say, and especially in traditional Chinese medicine and other Asian cultures, is it's just so good for your body. The same way you would bathe to like wash off all the dirt, like when you're outside. So maybe we can't get to a forest for us as palm tree bathing, but,
right.
But it's getting outside in nature. But it's just so cleansing for your body, because you're obviously you're going to breathe slow. You're not hustling around. But yeah, it's called forest bathing. And I think it's adorable. And if again, people listening, wherever you live, that you can just get out, you know, walk slow. You don't have to speed walk right away. If you need to just take your time, you know, breathing slow. One thing that's its own talk. One thing that's its own talk, so I won't get into, but essential oils can help with your immune system too. So that's something that's probably its own talk. I personally love doTERRA's On Guard. So if I feel like I've been exposed to a lot of germs at night, I rub it on my feet. I put it next to my, you know, my wrist at night and I sleep. But there's a bunch, if you're not sensitive to essential oils, again, it's its own talk. They really can help with the immune system and boosting it. Some are very antiviral.
I try it a lot, but I can't. I'm very skin sensitive. Even when I teach and I sweat, I have to immediately like go and get my forest bath because my skin will get so sensitive to the composition of the sweat, all the saltiness and everything. But I've tried the diffuser with doTERRA and the different blends that they have, and it's amazing, especially when you're trying to decompress at night. Mm-hmm. Not only you will get clear, like your mind is going to start decompressing and distressing, but you're also going to get your body to relax a little bit while getting your immune system worked on.
So when like the Black Plague was going on in Europe and people were dying in mass amounts, way more than anything we've experienced, they didn't, like, they've done studies now, like what some people kept them alive, and they had little handkerchiefs that had eucalyptus and frankincense and various oils that are antiviral. And they would keep them around them all the time because they said, well, how come certain people didn't get sick and certain people did? And so there are some oils that are very antiviral, oregano's like that. Now I'm pretty hardcore, so like I'll just take a few and actually take it internally if I feel like I've been exposed to people.
The little droplets.
Yeah, I mean, it can burn your skin though, so you gotta be really careful. But oregano, so there were certain even oils back in the Middle Ages that people were using, and they were fighting it off, or they got, you know, they got really sick with that, with their version of pandemic, but they got, you know, they got over it because of the oils. So, and of course, if you're dealing with your stress and you're a healthy person already, but yeah, that's its own talk. But I mean, it's something for your listeners to look into.
So much to talk about, including like, how does the change of seasons, you know, impact our immune system? How a change of environment and countries and the toxicity out there moving from the country to the city influences in our immune system, foods, drinks, just so much to talk about. But something I wanted to mention before we wrap up is vitamins. We're not suggesting, nor we are, you know, advising to take, but I personally started since last year, I started taking, besides the regular ones that I will take every so often, I started regularly taking probiotic with elderberry and D3. I started taking vitamin C, and I started doing the diffuser like almost every day. And I have pre-asthma. And that's something that I developed when I moved to Florida because of all the pollen and all of the dust and the change in the seasons. But it has kept me from getting sick for a long, long time. I used to get so sick with upper respiratory infections all the time, especially when you are, when the change of weather happens and you're going from, you know, spring to summer to fall to winter. And we know that Florida is particularly very hot, but then it can get really cold. And when you're teaching a class or you're doing some exercise and your body's so hot and then you go outside and it's cold, I was getting that shock all the time. So I was like, okay, so what can I do to get this better? But just put, like you said, put good stuff in your body that are natural, that are from the environment, that are not processed, that are not saturated with, you know, a bunch of things that are not supposed to be in your body so that your body reacts to it the right way.
Yeah, I would say like the regimen you're doing is what we do. And then I added zinc to it. So again, everyone needs to check with their doctor. But since I do teach and come in contact with about 100+ people, you know, all the time with all my classrooms, I take zinc, especially when I know I'm going into, let's say, cold and flu season or I'm going to travel. So I was doing the same regimen you did. Elderberry is super good too. Yes. Like if you feel like you're fighting something, to take that right away as a first course. But vitamin C, vitamin D, zinc. One thing that people don't know, and it's really important to know, is that D is a fat soluble vitamin, which means you need to have fat to absorb it into your body. So like if you took your vitamin D first thing in the morning without breakfast, you're gonna have very expensive urine later on. So what you wanna do is make sure you have it with some fat. So like for me, that might be avocado toast. For somebody might be a yogurt or something, or have it with your lunch or dinner, tend to have more fats in it. So your fat soluble vitamins are D, E, A, and K. I tell people to think of the DEEK. And so anyway, like teak wood, but DEEK. And so those are your fat soluble vitamins. So if you're taking them, you need to eat some fat with them.
That's really good.
To absorb them all.
I learned.
Yeah, but of course.
Today. Thank you so much. Okay. I'm learning so much, but particularly that's like mind blowing because I love vitamins. I can't take vitamins. I have to get the gummies.
Okay. And of course, for our listeners, it's summertime. The cheapest way to get vitamin D is to get about a half hour of exposure to sun. You know, you're gonna, without sunblock, you know, if your skin is okay with that, because that's how you're gonna absorb it most naturally, is through your skin. But some of us absorb it better than others. But if you're taking vitamin D, or if you take an E for or A or anything, those are also, when they're fat soluble, you can overdose on them. So that's really important because they store in the body. And so you definitely need to be careful. Like if you take a lot of vitamin C, you're feeling sick, and you read articles online that say take vitamin C until you hit bowel intolerance, basically till your stools get really loose, you're just going to have very expensive urine. But D, E, A, and K are fat soluble, and they stay and store in the body. So you want to be really careful, especially with little kids at home, that you're not giving them too much of those.
Yes, absolutely. I think it's really important. I have had so much fun, and there's so much to talk about, and we can talk for hours, but I want to thank you so much for taking the opportunity and the time to be our guest at the Bright and Fit podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you so much. So you guys, if you have any questions or topic ideas, you can always send me an email to Bright, B-R-I-G-H-T and letter N, Fit, F-I-T-1 @gmail.com. Follow me on Facebook at Bright and Fit by Tatiana, on Instagram at Bright and Fit 1, and you can follow, go to Shauna's website. You have your own website, correct?
Yes, gohealthyliving.org.
Yay! Thank you so much for your time. And you guys, it was a pleasure for me to present you another episode. I hope you can join us on the next one, and have a wonderful day. Talk to you next time.